the hearing. A couple of housekeeping items. Restrooms are outside. Women's is located on that side. Men's is located on this side. How many of you have been to a city council hearing before? Raise your hand. Okay. The hearing before us is a quasi-judicial hearing, and so its process is mandated by state law and local codes and practice. Part of that is that if you're here as a lobbyist, you need to disclose who you're authorized to lobby on behalf, whether that's a for-profit or a nonprofit, a neighborhood association. If you're here to just represent your own point of view, the only thing you need to tell us is your first and last name. We do not want your phone number. We do not want your address. We do not want your email address. All you need to tell us is your first and last name. And again, if you're a lobbyist, then who you're lobbying on behalf. How many here are in support of the appeal to establish the Community Arts Center? Raise your hands. Okay. How many are opposed? Okay, so the room...
Are we done now?
The room is full of supporters. 25 of you have signed up. There's the old phrase, don't look a gift horse in the mouth, or whatever it is. I'm going to limit testimony to when we get to the point where anyone can testify to 1 minute. And if you have already heard your point of view made, I would encourage you to not repeat. For the record, you don't have to repeat. The record shows that there was not a single hand that went up in opposition to this. Having said that, we will now begin. So City Council will come back from recess. Carla, for the record, would you please call the roll?
Fritz?
Here.
Fish? Saltzman?
Here.
Leonard?
Here.
Adams?
Here. Quorum is present. We shall proceed. Ms. Beaumont.
I believe Carla needs to read the item.
Oh, can you read
first.
The title then, Ms. Beaumont?
Item 207, Appeal of King Neighborhood Association against Hearing Officer's Decision to Approve with Conditions the Application of Portland Playhouse for a Conditional Use for Community Service Uses at 602 Northeast Prescott Street, LU 11187799 CU.
Ms. Beaumont.
Good afternoon. I have several announcements I need to make at the outset of this hearing. They are required by state law and our city code. They will describe the type of hearing we're having today, the order of testimony, and some guidelines for presenting testimony. First, this is an on-the-record hearing. This means that you must limit your testimony to the material and issues in the record. You can't bring up anything new. This hearing is to decide only if the hearings officer made the correct decision based on the evidence that was presented to him. If you start to talk about new issues or try to present new evidence today, you may be interrupted and reminded that you must limit your testimony to the record. Second, in terms of order of testimony, we'll begin by a staff report by the Bureau of Development Services staff for approximately 10 to 15 minutes. Following the staff report, the City Council will hear from interested persons in the following order. The applicant will go first and will applicant or appellant will go first and will have 10 minutes to present the appellant's case. Following the appellant, persons who support the appeal will go next. Each person will have 3 minutes to speak to council. Typically, if there was a principal opponent, the principal opponent would have 15 minutes to address the council, and supporters of the principal opponent would have 3 minutes each. Finally, the appellant has 5 minutes to rebut the presentation of the opponents or to make any concluding summary. The council may then close the hearing, deliberate, and take a vote on the appeal. If the vote is a tentative vote, the council will set a future date for the adoption of findings and a final vote on the appeal. If the council takes a final vote today, that will conclude the matter before the council. Finally, in terms of your testimony, since this is an on-the-record hearing, it means you have to limit your remarks to arguments based on the record compiled by the hearings officer. You can refer to evidence that was previously submitted to the hearings officer, but you can't submit new evidence today. If your argument includes new evidence or issues, the council will not consider it, and it will be rejected in the City Council's final decision. If you believe someone who addressed City Council today improperly presented new evidence or presented a legal argument that relies on evidence that's not in the record, you can object to that argument. And finally, under state law, only issues that were raised before the hearings officer may be raised in this appeal to the City Council. If you believe another person has raised issues that were not raised before the hearings officer, you may object to the council's consideration of that issue. Finally, I would note one issue for the council that we will deal with at the conclusion. The state law 120-day time limit for final decision-making expires at the end of March 9th, so roughly a week from today. The council's decision today will maybe a tentative one, which means we'll need to bring this back for the adoption of findings, and we'll need to deal with the timing of that and obtaining an additional extension of the 120-day clock from the applicant as necessary and appropriate. So I just wanted to give you a heads up on that issue.
All right. Does any member of council wish to declare a conflict of interest in the matter before us? Hearing none. Does any member of council have ex parte contacts to declare information gathered outside of this hearing to disclose?
I would just disclose in the ordinary course communications that people have had with staff members who have then briefed me, but not with me directly, Mayor.
Do any members of council have any other matters that they need discussed before we begin the hearing? All right, let's begin. We'll hear first the staff report.
Okay. Good afternoon, Mayor Adams, members of council. I'm Mark Walhead, case planner with Bureau of Development Services, and I'm here today representing the hearings officer's decision in LU 11-187-799-CU for the Portland Playhouse. I do have the full case file here with me today. Also here today with me is my supervisor, Susan McKinney, and Bob Haley from Portland Transportation in the event transportation questions come up, but that's unlikely. I'm going to move through this pretty quick. I tried to keep it short, so stop me if you have questions, but I'm just going to race through. In summary, the proposal is a conditional use review for community service uses. The approval criteria are in the zoning code at 33.815-105A2E. For institutional and other uses in our zones. The request is to establish a community arts center in a former church building in Northeast Portland, addressing some code enforcement issues. There are no exterior changes to the site proposed, and the activities as proposed are included in this chart from the applicant and includes the play performances as a line item and all their other various activities, ongoing activities and special events. This is in the notice and the hearings officer's decision, so I won't spend a lot of time on this. Just for procedural background, how this came to play, the Playhouse was cited last May for a violation having a theater in a residential zone. We did a pre-app in August, and since October, we've been processing the conditional use review. Catherine went over the 120-day issues. I do have the form, so that'll be a little hustle perhaps at the end if we want to have more than a one-week continuance. The zoning is straightforward R5, single-family residential zone at the corner of Northeast 6th and Prescott. Not much to show on the site plan. The church is clustered towards the west side of the site. There's no on-site parking. It's really just an open yard area just east of the church building. They are doing an accessible ramp, but that's allowed without conditional use review. I just have a few pictures here. This is the Playhouse Church building, originally constructed in 1904 as the Highland Congregational Church. It has a storied history, most notably as the home of the Mount Sinai Community and Interracial Church. Just a view looking from the south up at the building, it shows the two-story annex just south of the main church building. This is where there is a Shining Star Waldorf daycare in part of that annex. And I just have a couple shots. This is looking east of the site on Prescott. It shows the character of the surrounding area. It's older, two- and three-story homes, nice homes. And then just looking north again, right up 6th Avenue from the site. King School is about two blocks to the west. MLK is about two blocks. King School is two blocks to the north. MLK is two blocks to the west. This is just a citation of the hearings officer's decision. The play performances were classified as an entertainment-oriented retail sales and service use, so they're prohibited. The conditional use review was approved for all the remainder of their activities, subject to a condition of approval that they implement their proposed TDM plan, transportation demand management. The appeal summary is pretty brief. I won't belabor this either. The appellant argues that the use has been misclassified and should be considered a community service use. I will note I did a quick count, at least 85 letters since the notice of the appeal, all in support of the proposal. I'm going to go through just a few slides here to talk about the use issues in this review. The use issues are really separate from the conditional use criteria. There aren't any approvability issues with the conditional use criteria. Transportation and the other service bureaus reviewed it, assuming the plays were included. There's adequate on-street parking, no exterior changes. So I just wanted to separate the conditional use issues. If the theater was allowed as a use, it could be approved. So we're really just here talking about the use classification, which is, are the play performances a theater, which is a prohibited retail use, or a community center, which is a community service use allowed through the CU or conditional use process. Summarizing the use points made by the hearings officer in his decision, the applicant had compared their activity to the characteristics section of the code, making a comparison between community service and retail. They made a very persuasive case on that with that analysis, but the hearings officer, and everything in green on the screen here is hearings officer direct quotations. The hearings officer found that the analysis under our use chapter begins and ends before that comparison can be made. He cited three different LUBA case laws directly involving the city's use categories and determinations, and stated that the primary task is to determine the nature of the primary use, and his findings were that the evidence in the record showed that the primary use of the church is as a theater. Just continuing on, the rationale for calling it a primary use is that the assembly hall is set up to facilitate the viewing of the plays. That meets the definition of a theater, dictionary definition. Most of the other activities support or feed into those play performances. They had some other large events with large numbers of folks, I think 12 times a year. But when you looked at the number of plays, it was a big proportion, about 84% of the total large events. And then just sort of, besides precluding the comparison that they did against the characteristics of the two uses, theaters are listed as an example under retail sales and service. So while the HO acknowledged their noble and admirable mission, community involvement, and nonprofit status, he ended up saying, as staff had, that our hands are tied and the theater is classified as a retail use. Just sort of the punchline there is primary uses are subject to the regulations for that category. Theater is retail, is prohibited. That concludes my representation of the hearings officer's decision. I'm not going to read this slide. It's self-explanatory. I think I'll start by saying this is irrelevant, but this has been a difficult case for me. I served, as Mayor Adams knows, in the last couple years working on the arts aspects of the Portland plan. It's very clear policy on the city's moving towards supporting neighborhood-based art centers, liberalizing uses that can happen in institutional sites, but those rules aren't on the books yet. But if City Council determines in your deliberations today that the play performances should be reviewed with the community service use and therefore be allowed, These are some facts. The top, I guess it's eight bullets, are just some specific facts about the Playhouse's use that are already in the record. I just wanted to summarize them here. We can leave them up on the screen, or they're in your PowerPoint. This issue of calling the use a community center came up before the hearings officer. One of the issues was that community centers, which is what they were arguing they wanted to be, have an ongoing nature. They have office hours. It's sort of 8 to 5, you know, at least 6 days a week. You can come in and hang out, and it's not just for special events. That's really the definition of community service, one of the key distinctions. So there was a concern that they have that sort of some, you know, office hour. When that came up before the hearings officer, the applicant had agreed to a condition of approval that they have sort of public hours, 1 to 6, Monday through Saturday. That's aligned with their proposal. That condition wasn't imposed because the plays weren't approved. Also, just in closing, this my last bullet, the content, many of the letters and earlier testimony in this case focus on the admirable social and community values held by the Playhouse and which are reflected in their programming and activities. We can't regulate or enforce the content of the natures of the plays themselves. If the plays or themes explored, if it was approved and the nature or themes of the plays changed in the future, we would have no, you know, teeth to do anything about that. A theater is a theater, basically, content neutral. It's the state constitution's free speech provisions. I tried to keep that short. That's all I have, unless you have some questions.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you for a thorough presentation. I guess, could you just, for our benefit, walk us through, again, what our options are?
Yes. So the appeal is of a hearings officer decision. You can support the appeal and modify, make your own findings and conclusion. You can deny the appeal and uphold the hearings officer's decision. So those are the two choices.
So if we support the appeal, do we determine that the building is a community center?
Right. So you could support the appeal and provide provide direction on you know, your rationale for our preparation of findings. We'd come back with findings, and you guys would adopt those.
If I may, Commissioner Leonard, just follow up on that question for a moment. Do we have the same authority in this case as we have in others to fashion any ruling as narrowly as possible so that it does not serve as a broader precedent?
Absolutely.
I mean, so to counsel, I mean, is it – we had – the mayor often leads this discussion, so I'll beat him to the punch. If we determine unique facts as part of our decision, does that ensure that whatever decision we make here does not have broader precedential value?
Yes. In this case, as in any quasi-judicial case, your decision is based on the facts presented to you. So you can phrase that decision as narrowly and as related to those facts as you wish.
So I wonder if I could follow up on that. What is the I know you said this, but I want to make sure I understand. What is the distinguishing characteristic of a community center versus retail sales and service?
Community center is a community service use. So the key, if you have your hearings officer decision, it's page 11 of the hearings officer decision, describes community service uses. They're public, nonprofit, or charitable uses providing a service. It's provided on an ongoing basis, open to anyone to join, not a private club, for example. Those are the key characteristics, as opposed to retail, which is
My question wasn't so much what the key characteristics were, what distinguishes a community center from, I mean, what is it that this does that makes it a retail sales outlet versus a community center? How is it that you determine that? I'm trying to figure out what the nuanced distinction is.
Our code for better or worse, lists theaters as an example of a retail. Okay. So it's theater is considered a service, an entertainment-oriented service.
So I'm not trying to walk you down a path here. I'm trying to craft language based on the answers okay. that you're giving to me. So if you, earlier you alluded to what a community center is defined as, and you're mm-hmm. very general, is there actually a specific definition in the code?
We do not have a definition.
So we could actually, center. So that's actually good. So we could actually, if we were to seek to overturn the hearings officer's decision and support the appeal, direct you, consistent with our tentative decision, to develop a community center definition that applied to these circumstances.
I think in the sense of just ruling or, you know, addressing this case narrowly, you that would essentially be saying that a theater is a valid nucleus of a community center.
Maybe
in this situation because of these facts.
If I could just address that point for a second, because this reminds me a little bit of the discussion we had about the ICE facility when we look at the definitions, particularly where there's overlap. So, for example, I appreciate that under retail sales and service, entertainment-oriented specifically identifies a theater, but under the examples for community services, it identifies things like libraries, museums, and community centers, which are frequently places that host theatrical events. And there's no criteria for, you know, what percentage of their activities would have to, I mean, you could have, for example, a museum that has a theater in it and regularly shows theatrical. So it could be subsumed within these definitions in the same way that it's identified as an example.
So we don't need a
it just seems
specific
to me there's a natural
definition.
Yeah. Well, it seems to me there's such a natural overlap. Potentially, Commissioner Leonard, one option is just to go off the unique facts of this case and determine that it is parked within one of the definitions just as easily under community services, which is a more general description
right.
than it would be the specific of the other.
So we would cite 33.920.420
and
say
C.
we find that the use is consistent with that C, right?
C.
Okay.
Under the unique facts of this case yeah. So that it doesn't create a broader precedent.
Exactly.
Are the performers in the plays generally paid?
I think there's a small core of paid performers, but a lot of them are. I'll let Brian or
yeah,
Will.
Perhaps that could be addressed in testimony. The proportion who are performing for fees versus performing.
I think it's a small proportion, but I could be wrong.
It seems
it's really not. That didn't come up really explicitly. We had discussions about profit versus nonprofit, mostly just to say that that's not really relevant. It's just the activity. You know,
to me, whether the performers are paid is part of whether it's a community service or a theater whether it's for profit or for nonprofit.
So I'm sorry, I know
something I'll be interested to hear in testimony.
I'll have an easy
Thank
answer
you.
For you.
Okay. Any additional council discussion at this point? All right. You say that you've received 80 letters in support of the appeal.
I did a quick count and I saw 85.
Is just so we know, as the mayor manages time later, is there anyone in this room today who's
There is no one in the room opposed. We'll update. Anyone in the room that's opposed? Okay. We have an update.
Thank you. We did that before you got here. We'll hear from the appellant.
Welcome. Glad you're here. Who would like to begin?
I'll begin. My name is Nora Diver, and I'm the vice chair of the King Neighborhood Association. And I just want to talk about this site is more than just a dot on the zoning map. It's more than just a structure on the corner. It's a gathering place with deep roots, part of the history of many members of our community. For over a century, at this address, neighbors have shaped appeals to God, heartfelt interactions, and a commitment to compassion and interracial justice. Meaning has been created at this place, and the Portland Playhouse has upheld this tradition through community programming, its performance themes, exploring racial experience and social justice. The Playhouse cannot exist without the plays, and for this reason, the King Neighborhood Association asks you to allow the Playhouse to continue in our neighborhood by approving all components of their conditional use application. As you can see, there are many people who have testified to the integral role the Portland Playhouse plays in our community. It has opened their hearts wide, or the Playhouse has opened their hearts wide enough to create performances that resonate deeply with the people who live here and opened their spaces to other uses that fulfill community needs. I've seen former residents returning to their neighborhood to see plays that have touched and inspired them. I've witnessed the neighborhood kids hold impromptu brand practices here, and I've seen how thrilled they were to be playing up there on the stage. This is the kind of art that stems from a community-driven cultural experience from the people who live here, and that's why it's so important that the Playhouse be allowed to continue operating where it has been. Both the King Neighborhood Plan and the proposed Portland Plan call for the development of neighborhood-based arts and culture programs and facilities. The emphasis in both the plans is on supporting artists, promoting cultural programs, and creating centers for art, and involving and educating youth. In addition, there's a focus in the Portland Plan to outreach to underrepresented communities. And the Portland Playhouse fulfills all of these community goals that were produced by lengthy input processes. And to deny the neighborhood this playhouse would be to disregard all the time and energy and good intentions that the Portland citizens have put into creating these plans. We at the King Neighborhood Association have had robust discussions about the playhouse and sort of looking at different conflicting needs of the local residents. The playhouse has been really responsive to questions, and we've worked out plans for dealing with potential wrinkles. And at our last meeting, when we were looking at the question of appealing, everyone was unanimously in favor, 20-0. We really agreed that Portland Playhouse is a very positive organization working for the benefit of our neighborhood. If the zoning laws are intended to preserve the character of a community, then surely issuing a conditional use permit for the Portland Playhouse would be the best way to align the rules with this intention. The site has a history of community activity. The residents in nearby neighborhoods feel that programming at the Playhouse fills an important cultural niche. For decades, community organizations have called for the development of this type of facility in our neighborhood. The King Neighborhood Association is confident in our ability to work with the Playhouse, and the city has approved a number of community centers through the conditional use permits, and the King Neighborhood Association urges you to do the same for the Portland Playhouse. It's an important part of our neighborhood, and we want to see it continue to bring thoughtful, engaging arts to our community.
Thank you. Hi.
Hi. I'm Brian Weaver. I'm the artistic director of Portland Playhouse. Thank you, Council, for hearing this. Thank you, King Neighborhood Association, for appealing it. And thank you, Mark Walhood, for all of your help over the last months through this process, answering questions and taking care of it in a timely manner. As an artist, so often we are asked to make the financial case for art. So I would love to take this opportunity to make a case that is not financial for art.
This is rare.
We're always asked to say, what earned income can you bring to the table? What is the financial value? How can we quantify? How can we, in a number of dollars, how can we put a value on what you're bringing? I understand it's a difficult question, the question of whether theater fits in the use category of community service or commercial retail sales. I know there are many private businesses that use art and entertainment to make a profit. Great businesses, some of my favorite in Portland. Their business plan is to sell entertainment, food, drinks, and the success of their business plan is measured by their financial gain. That is not the model of Portland Playhouse. And I would suggest, nor is it the model of all nonprofit theater companies in Portland or artists in Portland. Our vision, our mission, is the illumination of the human heart. Must we answer to the financial world? We must. Many times, art and culture organizations are asked to make the case that art is a financial boon to the community, raising property values, stimulating local business, reducing crime, having a positive impact on the school system, and an increase in the economic resources of the city. We're often asked to justify artistic decisions on a financial basis, but that is not our vision, our focus. Our success is not measured in financial gain, but rather in our ability to illuminate the human condition. The fact that art centers and churches often share similar buildings is no accident. They share the same ancient root. Theater, like religion, is a search for meaning, a search for relevance, a search for compassion, empathy, understanding. In ancient Athens, all citizens were required by law to attend the theater. This was not a punishment.
I guess it depends on what theater.
nor a privilege. But it was considered a part of their civic duty. The belief that gathering people together to share our human story can create civic responsibility. Portland Playhouse is a nonprofit, community-based art organization. We perform plays, teach classes, lead workshops, host writing groups. Our base for the last 4 years has been the Mount Sinai Baptist Church. All activities are subsidized. You asked the question, how many of the plays are free? Our belief is that art should be accessible for all people. No one is denied on the basis of not being able to afford the price of a ticket. Even the full price tickets are greatly subsidized. Portland has this great program now that almost all of the art organizations share, which is Art for All. So we are part of that. Because we are a community-based nonprofit, does that mean that our art is less valuable? It does not. We strive for excellence in everything we do. Our enemy is mediocrity. Though we are not driven by profit, we are driven to confront our own prejudice, driven to illuminate truth, driven to transform our neighborhood into an equitable and just community for all people. People have gathered in this church building for the last 105 years. It was built by German immigrants and embraced by African-American Baptists after the Vanport floods. It has the historic honor of being one of the first integrated congregations in the state of Oregon. It is possible that this historic building is put to positive use, that it is not turned into condos, that it is not made vacant. As a neighborhood art center, it can continue serving King Neighborhood as a place to gather, create, study, challenge each other, seek to understand each other, and celebrate our complex humanity. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Mayor, may I just have a question?
There's one more.
Oh, go ahead. Please ask your question if you have a question.
We're going to have to make some findings, however we proceed. And you ended by referring to the... describe the place as a neighborhood art center. And so, without going through an exhaustive list, could you just give us a couple of examples of ways in which you believe this facility serves the neighborhood?
Yeah, absolutely. Here's a couple examples of some of the programming over the last year or two. A play, Radio Golf by August Wilson. A play about institutional racism in Pittsburgh's Hill District, specifically investigating neighborhood development and gentrification. This play had the effect of sparking meaningful dialogue among our white and black audience about similar issues in the King neighborhood. That was followed up with discussion panels dealing with what was happening in the moment in the King neighborhood. A free community potluck and accompanying art installation about food, family, and identity in connection with a writer's group, Playwrights West. Hosting the St. Andrews School annual talent show. a series of Oregon Humanities conversation projects about race and Oregon history. The play Telethon by Kristen Neubaum, a play about caregiving and the economics of persons living with cerebral palsy. Screening of Imagining Hope, a documentary about New Columbia and the history of the Vanport floods. Ongoing classes, acting, yoga, movement, voice. Angels at 20, a discussion of HIV and AIDS from 1980 to today, co-sponsored by Our House and Boom Arts.
Can I add a few others? In making the use categorization.
For the record, you are.
Thank you. I am William Rasmussen. I'm an attorney from Miller Nash. We're representing the Playhouse pro bono just because we believe in their mission and would like to see the Playhouse continue here in Portland. In classifying the use, we chose community center is the best example because, like every community center in Portland, the Playhouse provides a public space for the community to gather, to host events, to have classes. It's something that I don't know of any commercial retail theater doing in Portland for free.
Thank you.
Also, it's clear that we have a full house and the council will be busy today, so I won't bore you with legal analysis. Suffice it to say that in the record there is 20 pages of the best analysis you cannot buy about why approving this would be legal.
Who did that analysis?
Lawyers at Miller Nash.
Apparently pro bono, since they
pro
didn't
bono for free. Yes, the council has several options for approving this. In response to Commissioner Fish's question, the council can affirm the hearings officer's decision, which would essentially prevent the Playhouse from continuing here. It could partially reverse the decision and approve the appeal as it's been filed, which would just be putting a stamp on approval as it is. Or the council could choose to approve this and draft narrow conditions on why this unique situation is very unique and unlike anything else. I think given the nature of the use of the Playhouse, that would be very easy. You will not find a lot of organizations in Portland that look like the Playhouse. Thank you.
Thank you all.
I have a question.
So I appreciate the applause instigator up there. Normally we don't allow applause. I let you have four. You get one more applause, maybe when we're all done, but we've got a lot to run through today, and I have a feeling that you will applause appropriately at every good point made.
So I have to declare that my daughter is a theater major about to graduate from college, so there's a little potential conflict of interest, and I'm certainly very interested in the economic benefits of theater, hoping that someday she'll have a paying job. But my question was actually not about the ticket sales, but how many of the performers do get paid at the Playhouse?
Is for your daughter specifically? Or?
No, it wasn't. That's later.
I know that that has been part of the case that that we have. We rely on a corps of 150 volunteers. Many performers have not been paid or have been paid less than minimum wage. That's actually not something that I want to advocate for. I advocate for paying artists a living wage. I think that I think it's valuable to pay artists. I don't think that that is. I think that people who work at every I think that working in a community service use is about the kind of work you do, and I don't think that that would, I don't think it makes it better if people are not paid.
That's a really interesting and thoughtful answer. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Thank you all very much. All right. We'll now hear from supporters. So you can return to your seat. You will now hear from the supporters of the appeal. First four.
We have a total of 32.
Okay. So, again, if you've already heard something said in the 10 or so minutes, 15 minutes that we just discussed this issue, then for the sake of getting the work done today, I'd ask that you
defer your testimony, but you still have the right to do so if you want. And if you do have something new to present, then by all means let us know. Everyone will get 1 minute.
First four, please come on up, are Luke Grosser, Barbara Connable, Chris Haynes, and Carol Collimore. And they'll be followed by Gretchen Corbett, Kevin Jones, Vanessa Palma Aspero, and Anandi Thompson.
Hi, welcome. Glad you're here. Who would like to begin? Go ahead.
Thank you. I'm Barbara Connable. I'm the secretary of the Sabin Community Association. You have in your packet a letter from us. We unanimously support this for many reasons, the main one being it serves our community supremely. I took to see Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, a neighbor of mine. I've lived in Sabin 4 years. She's lived there all her life, and she's 5 days older than I am. When it was finished, she grabbed my hand and shook it over and over and said, "They got it right. Barbara, they got it right. They got it right." Now, in our neighborhoods, there is an it to get right. And this facility, this institution, addresses that, and we need it. One more thing, supreme quality in these performances.
Thank you, sir.
Luke Grosser is my name. I'm a member, a board member of the Northeast Coalition of Neighborhoods, and I'm representing that organization today. I've got those. With the full support of the NECN Board of Directors by way of our vote on February 21st, 2012, as well as that of the King Neighborhood Association and the Sabin Neighborhood Association, I'm delighted to advocate today for Portland Playhouse, which has been creating highly inclusive civic engagement in our neighborhood for the past 4 years. It would be a terrible shame if Portland Playhouse was removed from our community due to a technical glitch in the code, especially when it serves needs specifically identified in the Albina Community Plan. Policy 9A, Arts and Culture reads, quote, "Encourage private and public organizations to participate in activities and actions that create a sense of identity and community among those living and working in the Albina community. Promote the importance of art as a means for community pride, involvement, and revitalization," unquote.
Sir, your time is up. Final thought? Do you have a position on the plan?
Yeah, the Northeast Coalition strongly supports the continuation of the Portland Playhouse in this facility.
Thank you, sir. Ms. Collimore, welcome back.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Mayor Adams, Commissioners. My name is Carol Collimore, and I'm a current board member of the Portland Playhouse. I've been on the board of the Portland Playhouse since the summer of 2010 when I was approached by two rabble-rousing brothers to join their mission to bring art steeped in racial, physical, and emotional diversity. And while at first ambivalent to join yet another organization that claimed diversity or inclusion and then would proceed to point me out as their encapsulation of color, I was happily surprised that they meant what they said. The work at the Playhouse continues to reflect their and now my commitment to this organization. From their broad staging of the works of August Wilson, taking advantage of the swath of African-American actors and directors who live and work in Portland, like Kevin Jones and Victor Mack, to giving opportunity to local playwrights like Eugenia Woods to stage her work in the town where she lives, the Portland Playhouse is touching more and more people the longer we are around. Our movement into education with our local schools, like Jefferson High School, shows that, as always, access to opportunity equals success. This was proven through our high school Shakespeare festivals. Access to art through our organization encourages our community's kids to thrive. As we continue to discuss issues of equity and reflective diversity in the arts and in Portland in general, the Playhouse has moved far past lip service and is putting our words into action in the place we call the church. We are a community art center, and that will continue to reflect our culture through the arts. The Portland Playhouse, for me and for many other people, has become a place where neighbors feel included in the arts. There is always an affordable seat. The actors are always talented and diverse. and the opportunity for learning and creativity exists constantly. To lose our space is to lose the heart of our organization. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Hi, welcome.
Hi, my name is Chris Haynes, and it is my pleasure to address the Portland City Council today in support of Portland Playhouse. Portland Playhouse is among the city's best theater companies, and in a city with a theater scene as vibrant as Portland's, that's saying a lot. Portland Playhouse is not only distinguished by its high-caliber productions, but also by what those productions most commonly represent, which is often a more culturally diverse selection of shows than those exhibited at Portland's other fine performing arts venues. It should be noted that Portland Playhouse is the only Portland-area theater, to my knowledge, to have produced more than one play by Pulitzer Prize winner August Wilson, the first African-American playwright to have a Broadway theater named in his honor. Portland Playhouse also produced Christian Neubaum's play Telethon, the first play I've seen in all my years of Portland theater going to directly confront disability issues. This commitment to diversity is also borne out in the way Portland Playhouse treats its audiences. The Playhouse's first production was After Ashley. Sorry, do I need to stop?
No, you're good. You go right ahead.
The Playhouse's first production was After Ashley, a production for which I was lugged upstairs in my manual wheelchair. By the time I saw my second Portland Playhouse show, they had installed a ramp and continued to improve it as time went on. That fact alone defines Portland Playhouse as a community arts center, to my mind, because despite their limited budget, Portland Playhouse made being accessible to all members of the community a priority. This is further shown by their participation in the Arts for All program, in which $5 tickets were given to Oregon Trail Card recipients, as well as discounted previews. It would seem that if the council's decision were to go against Portland Playhouse, their alternate location would be the World Trade Center Theater, and that would be somewhat ironic, given that the World Trade Center is less of a theater than the converted church. It is more akin to a lecture hall, and it is due to its frequent use as a lecture hall that Third Rail Rep elected to move to the Winningstad Theater. Portland has been home to two separate theaters, which were converted firehouses, and Portland's largest theater company, Portland Center Stage, makes its home in a converted armory. As you can see, it is a Portland tradition to convert buildings built for other purposes into arts venues. It is the spirit of fostering creativity wherever possible that makes our city so wonderful. This body should not attempt to stifle it. It is part of our very identity. I would urge you today to cast a vote in favor of this vital Portland institution, to not bow to the whims of bureaucracy, to place a high value on art, creativity, and diversity. Portland Playhouse belongs in the church on Prescott. Let it come home.
Thank you, sir.
Next four, please come on up, are Gretchen Corbett, Kevin Jones, Vanessa Palma Aspero, and Anandi Thompson. And they'll be followed by Christy Miles, Victor Mack, Bill Crane, and Gabrielle Folks.
Hi, welcome. Please begin.
Thank you. Good afternoon. My name is Gretchen Corbett. I would like to first thank you all for what you do for our community. I'm an actor, a theater director, and an artistic activist, and have been so all my adult life. For the past 2 years, I've been performing and teaching with the Portland Playhouse. This is a company that takes their relationship to the community very seriously. One of my favorite things that the Playhouse does is its annual Shakespeare program. It puts young people together from the wealthiest and the neediest areas in the community. They play together, perform for each other, and their understanding is altered. Their lives are changed. I believe that art is essential for the growth of the human spirit. It is art that helps us understand each other and the world. It is art that nurtures and soothes. Art is not commerce. Through art, we bring service to our community. I know this to be true. I've spent much of my life touching the most intimate places of the soul. It is not by accident that plays are often performed in churches. Personally, I think that's where they belong. We need such nourishment, and in order to thrive, we need it close to home. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Hi, welcome.
Hello, members of the council. Me and my friend Vanessa. I'm Anandi Thompson, and I go to St. Andrew Nativity. I'm an eighth grader.
I'm Vanessa Palma-Espuro, and I also go to St. Andrew, and I am also an eighth grader.
Can we give you these cards on behalf of our student body?
Absolutely. Thank you very much. Oh, wow. They're great. I'll let you have some. Thank you.
Our school, St. Andrew Nativity, is located in Northeast Portland, 3 blocks from the Portland Playhouse. For the past 3 years, the Playhouse has generally hosted our annual talent show. The talent show is an incredible event for our school that allows our students to come and express themselves in lots of creative ways. The talent show brings out lots of people from the community, parents, students, staffs, graduates, and also neighbors.
We also hold fundraisers at the talent show to help provide scholarships for our graduates. We love being able to use the Portland Playhouse for these events. They offer this space to our school for free, which is very generous of them. Please allow them to continue making their impact in our community. Thank you.
Just please. The Playhouse is our home, and we don't want it to go. And it's very important to our family at St. Andrew.
Well, thank you, and send our thanks back to everyone who sent us these cards as well. We appreciate it. Thank
you. They're very well written, neatly written, and nice
good artist.
Individual.
Sir?
How do you say no to that? My name is Kevin Jones, and I'm a resident of Portland. I'm a co-owner of Plural Consulting, which is an organizational development and executive coaching firm. I'm also a founder of the August Wilson Red Door Project, which uses art as a catalyst for changing the racial ecology of Portland. And I'm also a professional actor and director. The big question here is whether or not Portland Playhouse is a community enterprise or a commercial one. And from my perspective, it represents a new paradigm and one Portland desperately needs, a commercial theater that is a social and community venture. What I know to be true is that as a professional actor and director, it is the only venue I've worked in Portland where there's a true sense of equity and mixing it up between artists of color and the mainstream white community. It's not about numbers or compliance, but about a model for working together in a way where people are willing to take risks and produce great art. It's the right model on a human level and has proven to be the right model on a business level. This is a community service, a community project, and a role model for community organizations. As we know too well, young artists of color and young people of color in general looking for opportunities to develop leave Portland. There just haven't been enough role models and support required for building a successful career and life. In my mind, this is a moral disaster. This is why I personally have created the August Wilson Red Door Project. Our city needs organizations that are willing to take risks, be uncomfortable, and in the process, create a new world together. A world where people of all color, classes, and races can live and thrive. So the questions for me, which are most salient and relevant, are, Portland has a legacy of around race. Are we willing to contradict that legacy by making hard and controversial decisions? What are the consequences of shutting down efforts that are making progress in the areas of equity and diversity?
And I need you to wrap up, sir.
Wrap it up. Where does our equity strategy begin if not with organizations that are already making great strides and can be role models for the community? Where does social entrepreneurialism fit in our city's development? And what are our individual and collective commitments to creating a city that is a role model for other cities across the country, as we have with other environmental issues? Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all. Appreciate it. The next four
are Christy Miles, Victor Mack, Bill Crane, and Gabrielle Folks. And they'll be followed by Philip Margolin, Roger Griffith, Isabel Sheridan, and Madeline Denko.
Hi, welcome.
Welcome. I mean, hello. I'm Gabrielle Folks. I'm a neighbor of the Playhouse. I've lived across the street for 32 years. And I will slightly disagree with a comment made earlier where they said there was no economic value or change in land in tax, property tax value, because over the years, people have said, oh, you live in King neighborhood, and there's been a negative connotation to that. The theater has brought in hundreds, maybe thousands of people into the neighborhood who have seen what a viable place it is. And from my perspective, it has improved my property value and improved the quality of the neighborhood. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Hi, welcome.
Hi, I'm Christy Miles. I'm a professional artist that has been intimately involved with the Playhouse since seeing the opening night of their first show. It is because of the uniqueness of this company and the space of the church that I have volunteered and sought to remain involved no matter what the personal monetary sacrifices were. In our little church in Northeast Portland, we have created our own unique artistic community, a community that invites its neighbors to come in and encourages them to flaunt their creativity, a specific example being during a director training for the Fall Festival of Shakespeare, we were serenaded by a group of neighborhood kids singing a song they had just learned. We are a community that introduces relevant current pieces of theater to an audience that may not have the opportunity to see it elsewhere, a community that is fostered by not sacrificing our artistic integrity but seeking alternative ways of making great art happen, and a community that calls upon those who witness our performances into conversations to discuss the relevance of productions and the themes involved and how they might have impacted them as a viewer. It is my honor to coordinate the over 150 core volunteers. It is my responsibility to make sure that all volunteers, 60% of whom are from the Northeast Portland neighborhood where we are located, they have access to and are involved in creating this essential human and relationship-building art.
And I need you to wrap up.
You bet. Thornton Wilder once said, "I regard the theater as the greatest of all art forms, the most immediate way in which a human being can share with another the sense of what it is to be a human being. With the Fall Festival and all of the other programs and productions that have been produced at the Playhouse, we are accomplishing just that, sharing what it is to be a human being."
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Mr. Crane, welcome back.
Thank you, Mayor. I think we're all preaching to the choir. I can't imagine that you're... I think we're preaching to the choir. I do that a lot as a church organist. Thank you so much for everything that you do as council to make art flourish here. We have the most astounding artistic community all over the place. The most wonderful thing for me about Portland Playhouse is that it's not downtown. It's not in the place where people like me, a late middle-aged balding organist, can go and play music of dead white European composers in a church behind red doors. It's
wow,
all those other
that's
things.
That's a pitch if I ever heard one.
You know what? I don't know how you do all those little legal turning the little tiny dials, but I know y'all do it, and thank you ever so much.
Thank you, sir. The next four
are, was there a Victor Mack? Victor Mack. Okay. Then there is Philip Margolin, Roger Griffith, Isabel Sheridan, and Madeline Denko. How about KB Mercer?
Mr. Margolin, would you like to begin?
And they'll be followed by Brian Jones, Katie Nolan, Katie Canfer, and Charles Boardman.
Sure. My name's Phil Margolin. I don't live in the Kane neighborhood. My contact with the Portland Playhouse is strictly I went there to watch a few plays. And after watching a few plays, I was so impressed that I just sent them some money because I was afraid because of how poverty stricken they look, that that the Playhouse might go under. And what really impressed me about it, and it's really interesting, because I didn't know anything about their mission statement or anything like that, but what has impressed me is I love August Wilson. He's a preeminent African-American playwright in American history, probably.